Various acts of rebellion and treachery. It could not be real. Caesar was so solid, beloved by the gods, indestructible. Slowly, Antony's eyes adjusted to the brightness, and he looked out from the top of the theatre steps across an eerily quiet city. A crow circled overhead, cawed twice, and flew on. A dog let out a series of frenzied barks, which were cut short with a little whine. Most of Antony's clients and slaves had fled with the senators. Only one had bravely remained, and he approached Antony now, head bowed. "Master!" Antony looked down at him, trying to focus his thoughts. "Vitalis," he said, putting a hand on the slave's shoulder. Vitalis had been a part of Antony's familia for many years, and had even accompanied him on some of his military expeditions. He had never held an elevated position in the household, however, and Antony had previously paid him little attention, considering him part of the fixtures and fittings, like most slaves. That would change from now on, Antony resolved. "Master, you should flee. It's not safe." Antony nodded. "Come."
"Yes, master, but please, first, take my clothes."
Antony considered for a moment. He was tempted to stride through the streets of Rome in his toga, crying out news of the crime at the top of his voice, calling for vengeance on the murderers. But he was quickly recovering his wits. Always at his finest in a crisis, he started to think clearly. It was clear that, even though Brutus had assured him that he was personally not a target of the assassins, others may believe differently. If he wanted to avenge this outrage, he needed to first ensure his own safety, and the safety of his family. Fulvia and his infant son Antyllus would be sitting anxiously at home, waiting for his return, waiting for news. History showed that the families of the victims of assassination were often murdered along with the main target, whether for revenge, to send a message, or to prevent future retribution. He had to get home. Hastily, Antony threw off his toga, leaving it in the dust in a crumpled heap, and pulled on the tunic and cloak that Vitalis was proffering. Vitalis was left naked, but he stood, back straight, apparently proud to be of service to his master. Antony clapped him once on the shoulder. "I won't forget this, faithful servant. Let's be on our way." They hurried through deserted streets, past boarded and shuttered shops and dwellings. The citizens of Rome had lived through too much rebellion and civil war in recent years, with all its accompanying destruction of property and death of innocents, to be prepared to hang around and see what happened next. Antony wanted to run, to sprint homewards, until his lungs burst and his legs gave out. Thoughts of intruders invading his home and brutally murdering his precious wife and son crowded his mind. But he knew that he could not afford to draw attention to himself, in case he was dispatched by an assassin's knife before he could get back to protect his family. So he bustled along, the hood of Vitalis's cloak pulled over his head to conceal his face, trying to appear like a slave anxious to be off the street, rather than a fugitive fleeing for his life. Whenever he passed someone else, he tensed, ready for a fight. But those few who were still out and about were all desperate to be elsewhere and gave him a wide berth. After what seemed a lifetime, all the while with his guts clenched into a solid rock of anxiety, he came into sight of his house in the Carina district that had previously belonged to Pompey, and saw with relief that there was no one trying to gain entry, no smoke pouring from within, no bloody corpses strewn around. He rushed up to the front doors and hammered on them. A hatch opened, and the porter looked out at him, anxiety turning quickly to relief. The door swung open, and Antony rushed into the vestibule, pulling Vitalis with him. He slammed the door shut behind him and hefted the heavy oaken bar into place. "Vitalis, go and fetch a hammer and nails. Ask anyone you need to assist you. Get this door boarded up, fast as you can." He marched into the atrium, throwing off his cloak as he did so. Fulvia was standing there, her face pale, clutching young Antyllus in her arms. Behind her stood Antony's stepchildren.